Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this glorious morning. We thank you for your presence that is here already. We thank you for the blessings that you have been pouring into each one of us, even from the time we came in here and through the time of praise and worship. We are so grateful. And as we press into more of you by looking into the perfect law of liberty, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We thank you for enlightening the eyes of our understanding, that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. And our prayer is that you will help us to mix faith with your word, so that we may not just be hearers alone, but doers as well, that our profiting may appear to all men. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and our guide into all truth, now and evermore. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 12. Let's read together the whole chapter of Isaiah chapter 12, and then we shall focus on the verses that God would have us to meditate in this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit. But let's read together. Let's go. Isaiah chapter 12 from verse 1 to end. Let's go. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Amen and amen. We thank God. Before we look closely at the verse we are studying this morning, let us pay attention to what verse 6 says. Let's read that together one more time. Let's go. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Once again, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, verse 6 was written not just for natural Israel alone, but also for you and I who are in Christ today. So when you read verse 6, don't just think about, oh, God made that promise to Israel as a nation. Think about it as God made that promise to everyone that is in Christ. Because when we study the Bible, we have to understand it in the context in which it is written. This passage of scripture is prophetic concerning Christ, and we have to see that very clearly and know how it applies to us in our own days. So whatsoever experiences may come your way in life, what God expects you to do is what is written there in verse 6. You have to understand that God is in you, Because you are inhabitant, you are an inhabitant of Zion. You are part of the family of God. You are one with Him, joined together by the same Holy Spirit. And Bible also teaches us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. But if we lose focus of God who is in us and who is among us as His people, the devil will get our attention and make us look at our problems as being insurmountable. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, all your problems put together are but a little thing in the sight of God. Because greater is God who lives in you than the devil that is causing you trouble in the world. Amen. So if you don't forget that you are an inhabitant of Zion, and you don't forget that God who is in you is greater than the devil that is in the world, if you don't forget this simple truth, you will always have hope in every adversity of life. As long as you have hope, you will win, because your faith works with your hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The moment you lose hope, there's no ground for faith anymore. That is why basic scriptures like this are very important for us as Christians. We have to know them by heart and call them to mind at all times. That God who is in me is greater than the devil that is in the world. Therefore, whatsoever the devil brings against me, God who is greater than him will give me the victory in that situation. The moment you can believe that, you're on the road to victory. Because faith is the victory, Bible says, that overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now let's back up to verse 1 and begin to see this passage in context. Because what we want to look at this morning is how to benefit from the salvation that belongs to us in Christ. As a follower of Christ, you are the redeemed of the Lord. God is not just trying to redeem you. You're already redeemed. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ hath, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has already been made a curse for us. He has already taken our place on the cross. He has already become our substitute. And now we are to walk in the blessings. Bible says there in Galatians chapter 3, the reason why Christ was made a curse for us was for the blessings of Abraham to come upon us, even as Gentiles. In other words, the people that were not natural Israel, but now are spiritual Israel. So we are partakers of the inheritance, Bible says, of the saints in the light. And we have to understand that very clearly. Now, verse 1, Isaiah chapter 12 says, and in that day. So what day is God talking about here? Is he talking about a 24-hour period as we know it here on earth? Or is he talking about something else? Obviously, he's not talking about a 24-hour period. Otherwise, that would have passed. And we have no business reading that in the Bible anymore. So we see that it's talking about something else. So we have to understand what it's talking about. So in order to do that, let's go to chapter 11. You see, we have to always study the Bible in context. It's good when you are reading any portion of the Bible, look at chapters before it, look at chapters after it, look at verses before it, look at verses after it, and then you'll be able to understand clearly what God is saying. I'll encourage you when you get home, study the whole of chapter 11 again so you can see it in the context. But we know that chapter 11 was prophetic concerning Christ, who was going to come. But for the sake of time, let's go straight to verse 10, chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Again, you see that phrase, and in that day. In that day. Again, in what day? It's talking about the day of Jesus Christ himself. The day of the manifestation of Jesus Christ. And we are still living in that day. And we are going to continue to live in that day until God takes us home. So, we are in the day God was prophesying about through Isaiah. Because God was simply telling us about Jesus that was going to come through the root of David. Jesus who was going to bring salvation to mankind. Jesus who was going to bring heaven down to us here on earth so that we can become partakers of all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven while we are here on earth. And we are in that day. And we see right there in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 10 that it's not just talking about Israel as a nation naturally speaking, but it's talking about everyone that is in Christ, because it spoke there about the Gentiles, how Jesus, the root of Jesse that was going to come bringing salvation to mankind, will be an ensign. An ensign there literally means a banner, something that you lift up for everybody to see and for everybody to come to. There is no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus. There is no salvation in religion. There is salvation in Christ and Christ alone. Because Bible says he is the ensign. And even Gentiles would have to look to him. And his rest, please underline that in your Bible, his rest shall be glorious. No wonder Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So there is rest in Christ, not in religion, not elsewhere, but in Christ and in Christ alone. So the day Bible is talking about here again is the day of Jesus Christ. And we are in that day. We are still living in that day. And every morning when you wake up, you are living in that day as long as you are in Christ. But if you get yourself out of Christ, you are no longer in that day. Because it's not talking about 24 hours. It's talking about Christ himself that will bring us salvation, which we know he has already brought because he has redeemed us already. Now let's go back to chapter 12 of Isaiah. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, that's verse 1 again, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I want us to pause there and meditate on that individually for the next few seconds. Perhaps you are here this morning, and the devil has been making you to be afraid of one thing or another. You know, the devil can come to us with different kinds of fear. Bible teaches us that what the devil used to oppress all of mankind was fear before Jesus came. Remember? Bible says that the devil was holding all of mankind in bondage through fear. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil so that he might set us at liberty from the fear of death that the devil was using to oppress all of mankind. Some people are afraid of the dark. If they don't see light, they will be so much terrorized. You'll be amazed. How are you so fearful? Well, that's how the devil has got them in bondage, by making them to be afraid of the dark. Some people are afraid of water. They can't go or travel in a boat because they are afraid that when they get in the water, they might drown. Some are afraid of height. They can't fly in the aeroplane. If where they are going, they can't get there by road, they will not go. Some are even afraid of tomorrow. They don't know what tomorrow holds for them. And they live in terror today. You see, the devil is very cunning and very crafty. If our hearts are not fixed, trusting in the Lord, the devil will get us to be afraid of one thing or the other. Some of us are afraid of human beings. Some of us are afraid of wicked people. Back in Africa, some are afraid of witches and wizards. Some can't even sleep at night because they are afraid that witches and wizards will come and take them. All kinds of fear. But you see, there is one solution to all kinds of fear, and that solution is Jesus himself. You have to understand that Jesus is your salvation. He has become your salvation. He has already spoiled principalities and powers for you. He has defeated the devil for you. And therefore, if you are in Christ, you are already in victory. You don't need to be afraid of what the devil can do. You are on the side of God. And greater is he that is in you than the devil that is in the world. But if you don't spend time meditating in the word of God, you won't build up yourself in your most holy faith to be able to live without fear. And that's why Isaiah began to say here in verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust." Please underline that in your Bible. I will. The word will there means I choose to trust. God will never override the will of man. He has given us the power of choice. You can choose to trust in God or to not trust in him. But if you are a wise Christian, you spend good time in the word of God and build yourself up in your most holy faith and get all the doubt out of your mind and out of your soul so that you can anchor your soul on the word of God and God himself, who cannot lie, and trust in God and trust in his word and say every other thing that contradicts the word of God in my life is a lie of the devil. I don't care how logical it may sound, it must be a lie because God cannot lie. Bible says God cannot lie. Therefore, this situation is a lie in my life because it contradicts the word of God for me. And then you trust in God and trust in the promises of God. You see, in Hebrews chapter 6, Bible says two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. And that's talking about God himself, who cannot lie, and his word, which is the truth. The word of God is not a lie. But the devil's version is always a lie. Sometimes the devil takes the word of God and takes it out of context, twists it a little bit, and it becomes a lie. That's why you have to understand the truth very clearly, so that when the devil is taking the scripture out of context, you'll understand. Mr. Devil, you think you can get me that way? You are grossly mistaken. I know the voice of the good shepherd clearly. Even though what you are saying is the word of God, but that's not the voice of my shepherd. That's the voice of the stranger. Because my shepherd doesn't speak the word that way. You are speaking it in a strange way. See, remember how Bible teaches us that Isaac, you know, when his two sons were there and Because a love food, you know, it's not good to love food too much. You can get in trouble. He loved food so much. And so he asked his elder son to go and get him venison and prepare the food he loved. And then their mother, who had had God but now was trying to scheme to try to help God fulfill his word, said, well, this is the opportunity for the younger to become the master over the elder. All right, well, you, Jacob, let me help you prepare the food. Go quickly, give it to your father, because he's old now, and get the blessing of the firstborn. Because God said, you should be the first. But God did not ask her to be the one engineering it. You know, sometimes we can take the word of God and try to help God out, just like Abraham also tried to help God out and produced Ishmael. God does not need our help to fulfill his word. He wants us to just believe and he will fulfill it in his own way. So when the father ate the food, when he saw the son bring the food, he said, but wait a minute, how did you get it so fast today? But because he just wanted the food, he wasn't paying attention to all that. He said, but wait a minute. The body I feel, because he was not able to see clearly because of old age now. He said, the body I feel is the body of Esau. But the voice is that of Jacob. What's going on here? But anyway, just give me the food. he should have been on guard, because he himself says that, well, the voice is different, even though the body look like it should be. Well, we have to learn to discern clearly the voice of the good shepherd, so that when the enemy takes the word of God and quotes it out of context, we can know how the word is the same, but the voice is different. I will not obey that. Did they not try it on Jesus in the temptation? The second temptation, the devil said, okay, jump now. After all, it is written, I will give my angels charge over you. How come Jesus didn't jump when he heard the word of God? How come he didn't jump? Because he knew that was not the voice of his father. That was the voice of the stranger taking the word of his father out of context. Because God didn't put that scripture there for you to deliberately jump. If you accidentally fall, God will protect you when you stand on his word. But why do you tempt God and deliberately jump so that he can keep you from dashing your foot against the stone? I mean, that's foolishness. That's why we have to spend time in the word of God and be able to clearly understand when God is the one speaking or the devil trying to deceive us by taking the word of God out of context. And so, again, the key here in verse 2, Isaiah chapter 12, is that we have to understand that salvation already belongs to us. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust. So we trust on that basis. We trust in God that there is nothing the devil can do to defeat any of us in Christ. There is no trouble that comes your way that you have not already overcome in Christ. You just have to understand how to walk in Christ and walk in the victory. Every help you need today, you don't even need to tell me what you are going through. I have the authority on the word of God to tell you that there is help for you in every trouble that you have in your life. All of them. There is no situation in your life today that Jesus has not already given you victory over. But you have to learn how to walk in Christ and walk in the victory that already belongs to you in Him. is not just trying to prepare victory for you after you came, after you experienced the trouble. He has already given you the victory before the trouble came your way. Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, gave you the victory. He said, "It is finished." And the trouble you have today, He already provided for over 2,000 years ago. And you have to understand that as a Christian, so that you don't get the devil to deceive you. When it comes, you can say, "Oh, praise the Lord. I already have the victory over you, Satan." Therefore, you are just wasting your time. The days of your trouble in my life are numbered because I already have the victory. I'm an overcomer in Christ Jesus. And I will overcome every trouble you bring against me, Satan, because in Christ Jesus I already have the salvation and the victory. So Isaiah said, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." Say to your neighbor, "Trust in God and don't be afraid of the devil and all kinds of evil." Amen. You just have to learn to trust in God. Develop your faith and your trust in God by spending time in the Word and in prayer. Just fellowshipping with God will help you develop trust in Him. You can't trust a stranger, can you? Many of us don't have time for the Word of God. That's why we find it difficult to trust in God. So when the devil shows up, fear grips us. But if you spend time with God, with a heart that really wants to know God and wants to love God and please God, the Holy Spirit will build faith in you and build trust in your heart, and your heart will become fixed at all times. Nothing will move you. Nothing will shake you. Even when everybody else is afraid, you will be bold to say, "I know my Redeemer liveth." And they will say, "What gives you that boldness?" "I have an inside information which you can't see, because there's someone in me giving me the courage and the boldness, saying to me, 'Fear not, I am with you.'" Hallelujah. Remember how even when Paul was traveling to Rome on that ship, and then there was storm and the whole thing was going to be destroyed. And initially when he told them, "Well, don't sail from here because I perceive that this journey is going to have some difficulty," the captain of the ship and the crew did not listen to him. They look at him as, "Well, are you not even a prisoner?" We are the captains. We are the experts. We studied at the higher school of navigation. We know the route inside out. We've navigated this water several times. We know everything. They didn't listen to him. But then when the storm really hit them and they themselves realized there was no hope for them, fear gripped all of them, including the captain. And they were all panicky because they knew they were going to die. And Bible says Paul stood up in the midst of them all. He said, "Don't be afraid. Fear not. The only thing that will be destroyed is the ship. And you could have saved that if you had listened to me all along. But now it's too late. The ship will be destroyed. But there will be no loss of any life." Why? Because the angel of the Lord God, who's a Ahem, said to me that there shall be no loss of any life. How did he know? Because he was in fellowship with God. He could hear God, but all the rest of the crew were only hearing from the devil. Fear gripped all of them, but no fear in Paul. Say to your neighbor, the person you are listening to will determine the condition of your heart. So take heed what you hear. Amen. Very important. Jesus warned his own disciples to take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear. Why? Because what you hear will affect how you think. If you hear the wrong information, your thoughts will be wrong. And your action will be wrong. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why wrong doctrine is dangerous. Say to your neighbor, don't listen to wrong doctrine. It is dangerous. You know, just like you can't hit poison naturally, don't take spiritual poison. Wrong doctrine is spiritual poison. It will damage you spiritually. Avoid it. Understand clearly the voice of the good shepherd. So, no fear. We trust in God. Now, finally, where we are going tonight, I mean this morning, is verse 3. Let's pay close attention to it now. Salvation already belongs to us. As we said a short while ago, God is not just planning on giving us victory in our situations or our troubles or adversities. We already have it. He has already given it to us. Jesus, who came bringing salvation to mankind, has finished the work. When you have trouble, Jesus doesn't have to come and die on the cross the second time in order to give you the victory. He already gave you the victory by one sacrifice on the cross. How come then, as Christians, we still beat about the bush? Some of us, even our prayer, that we spend so long a time praying, is just prayer that is said in unbelief. And that's why we don't get results. We do much praying, but we don't get much results because most of the time our praying is not backed up with faith. Because we don't have clear understanding of the way to walk in the salvation that belongs to us. No wonder God said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." God didn't say, "My people perish because the devil is around." How come we major on the devil? No, we should major on making sure that we are not ignorant. We should major on studying the truth, to know the truth for ourselves. Forget about the devil because he has no power over you. If you are in Christ, the devil has no power, has no authority over you. In fact, the truth is that you have authority over him. You can command him and he will listen to you. Bible says, for instance, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In Luke chapter 10 verse 19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." How come we don't major on scriptures like that? How come we live in fear of the devil? When Jesus said we have authority over him and there is nothing the devil does that will hurt us. You see, ignorance is our problem, not the devil. The devil is a liar and a deceiver. When you know the truth, he can't deceive you. And he can't get you to believe his lie. Now verse 3, if you don't remember anything else I've said here this morning, please remember what we are about to share now. It will help you all your days in every situation. In every situation. I guarantee you, based on the word of God, you don't need any other guarantee apart from the word of God. Because God doesn't give us any other guarantee apart from his word. And his faithfulness to always keep his promises. He said that the words that proceed out of his mouth will not return back to him void. That's God guaranteeing his word. In Isaiah chapter 55, if you read it from verse 9 to 11. He said every word that proceeds out of his mouth will not return back to him void. It will accomplish the purpose why he sent it and prosper in the thing whereunto he has sent his word. Because his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, you see. Now, verse 3. Therefore, you see, it begins with therefore so that we can understand it in context. Therefore, because of the day, therefore, because of the salvation that has come through the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, therefore, because now we are in Christ, we are inhabitants of Zion, therefore, because in being in Christ, we are in the authority of the greater one. Therefore, the devil, the lesser one, has no power over us anymore. We are more than conquerors through him, Jesus, who has loved us. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Therefore, with joy. Say to your neighbor, with joy. Not without it. With joy. Well, in this country, maybe only a few people, particularly in modern times, understand how to draw water from the well. Because we have tap water and you just turn the tap and water flows. But in places where they dig wells, and as we see in the Bible, all the wells that were dug by Father Abraham and the rest, you have to have something to draw with. Even in John chapter 4, under the New Testament, Jesus went to the well at Samaria and couldn't get water because he needed someone who had something to draw the water out of the well. And the woman that was there said, well, I'm the one that can give you water because you don't have something to draw water with. Jesus said, if you understand what I'm talking about, you ask me to give you the real water. I know I don't have the bucket to draw from this well. That's why I'm asking you to give to me from the well, because you have a bucket, naturally. But I have something else for you that is better than the natural one. I'm not talking about natural water now. I'm talking about some other kind of water that will really, really quench your thirst for all eternity. So in other words, we need something to draw from the well. If you don't have the right material or the right tool to draw from the well, you can't get anything out of the well. So say to your neighbor, with joy. With joy. With joy. With joy. So what happens if I don't have joy? I don't have what it takes to draw from the well of salvation. Yet I need help. You begin to see how the devil gets us to be sorrowful in our trouble. The devil is a cunning, crafty being. When he brings trouble our way, he wants us to sit down, feel sorry for ourselves, meditate on our trouble, become sad, become sorrowful, lose our joy, and then we can't draw anything from the well of salvation. When you lose your bucket, you can't get the water. Give no place to the devil. It's time for us to know the ways of the kingdom of God and walk in the blessings of the kingdom and put the devil out of business. The devil knows he does not have any direct authority over us. But it tries to steal from us cunningly. Because if he can steal my bucket, then I can't get water. But what I need is in the well. But I can't get it out. So I'm starving, not because I don't have the supply, but because I don't have what it takes to get from the supply. The devil says, can't you see how your life is going? Can't you see how things are upside down in your life? Can't you see how things are not working out for you? And then I listen to him long enough. Then I sit down, as Bible says, eating the bread of sorrows. What has happened to me now? The devil has stolen my bucket, which is joy. So I can't draw from the well of salvation. What I need is in that well. Because Jesus brought salvation to all areas of my life. Spiritually, emotionally, physically. my job, my business, my career, my family, everything that pertains to me. And as Bible says, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Jesus already gave me the supply. When he died for me, when he shed his blood for me, when he redeemed me from the curse, the blessings are already in place for me. And all is in that well of salvation. But I need joy to draw from it. I cannot draw without joy. You see, whether we think about the new or the old covenant, we see that very consistently. I'll give you some scriptures. Please, when you get home, meditate in them. There is a close relationship between joy and salvation. If we don't walk in joy, we cannot get the benefits of salvation in our lives. First and foremost, let's turn quickly to Luke chapter 1. That is why, you know, Bible says, for instance, in James chapter 1 verse 2, my brethren, he says, talking to Christians, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation. But, you know, we sit down and say, what is there to rejoice about? Without knowing that that's the devil stealing our bucket. Because he knows we need the joy to draw from the wells of salvation. So we say, what is there to rejoice about? What is there to rejoice about? Can't you see yourself? Nothing is working. So what's joy? What joy is there for you? And yet the answer is in the well. But I need the bucket. I need joy to draw. And the devil is stealing my bucket. Luke chapter 1. Jesus that brought us the salvation. Look at what Bible says about salvation and the relationship that joy has to our salvation. You see, you can't walk in the benefits of salvation without joy. Salvation and joy go together. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit of God. God is never sorrowful. God is always joyful. There is no sorrow in heaven. There is joy in heaven. And you and I are citizens of heaven. We are the ransomed of the Lord. Bible says we should return unto Zion with singing, and everlasting joy should be our portion. No sorrow. Bible actually says sorrow and sighing will flee from us. So say to your neighbor, don't entertain any sorrowful thoughts. Joy is your portion. So rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice at all times. When the going is easy, when the going is not easy, just rejoice. Don't allow the devil to rob you of your joy. Hallelujah. All right. Luke chapter 1. Let's just, for the sake of time, just get this verse out. Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. It's chapter 2 that we need, not chapter 1. Luke chapter 2. For the sake of time, I'll just read verse 10. Again, we know the account. It's talking about the birth of Jesus. Verse 10 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Remember, Isaiah prophesied that the salvation that the root of Jesse will bring will be unto all people. Even the Gentiles will look to him as the ensign for salvation. And the angel is announcing the birth of Jesus. And the first thing he's saying is joy. Because salvation has come. Joy comes with the salvation. Why? Because as God comes on the scene, the glory of God comes and the attributes of God come with him. Joy is the attribute of God. If you want God to help you, you have to give him the right atmosphere. You can't take fish, for instance, and put it on dry ground and expect the fish to live. The fish needs water. God needs atmosphere of joy. That's why in heaven, if you read the book of Revelation, joy is there all the time. Because that's what makes God to express himself and manifest his glory. The devil knows that very well. So he tries to rob us. So the angel announces joy unto all people. Why? Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ Jesus. Joy comes because the Savior is born. Now that the Savior is born, joy came with him. The only way to get the blessings that the Savior brought for mankind is through the same joy. That's why Isaiah said, with joy you shall draw from the wells of salvation. If you don't have joy, then you don't get it. Okay, let's also look very closely at 1 Samuel. Under the old covenant, we see many examples. For the sake of time, we won't be able to go over everything. But okay, what we'd probably just do, I don't want to rush this so much. We'll probably just stop there for today and pick it up some other time, because it's good for us to have a clear understanding of this truth and know how to apply ourselves to it and enjoy the blessings and benefits of salvation that belongs to us. But let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. We all know Hannah, the mother of Samuel. We know how she prayed and how she got what she desired of the Lord. And now look at what she said. Look at what she said. 1 Samuel chapter 2 from verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Please underline that, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Also, before we close today, let's turn quickly to Habakkuk. Once we understand the relationship between joy and salvation, we will never allow sorrow. When trouble comes our way, we will rejoice. We will count it all joy, because we know the solution is in the wells of salvation. And I need joy to draw from it. And you know what? When you begin to rejoice, you create the atmosphere for God to come on the scene and the devil to run away. The devil can't live in an atmosphere of joy. It's the spirit of sorrow and sadness. That's why he doesn't like to see people rejoice. He just tries to snuff out their joy, because that's not where he can operate from. But when you rejoice, when you, regardless of what you are going through, rejoice in the Lord. When you take your eyes off of trouble, off of the trouble that you are faced with in life, and you say, I don't care what the trouble is, I'm going to rejoice in God, my salvation, because the wells of salvation has the answer for me, and I need joy to draw from it. If I rejoice in the Lord, the Holy Spirit will rise up in me, because it is the spirit of joy, and it will help me to lay hold upon what belongs to me in Christ and to have the victory in that situation. No man can give me the victory. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of God. And if you want the Holy Spirit to help you, you have to give him joy, because joy is of the Spirit of God. Habakkuk. Thank God for Habakkuk. Say to your neighbor, thank God for Habakkuk. Maybe some of you have not read Habakkuk for some time now. Well, you need to read Habakkuk, and read Habakkuk very well. There's so much there to learn from in relating to God and working with him. Chapter 3, verse 17 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Let's pause for a minute. That's a sad situation, isn't that so? Everything is failing. Nothing is working. It's time to sit down and eat the bread of sorrows. It's time to feel sorry for ourselves. Isn't that so? That's how many of us will be in that kind of situation. Why? Why is everything not working? Why is everything failing? Why? Why is the situation like this? Why? And then we sit down there and think why. And the more we think why, the more discouraged we become, the more disappointed we feel, the more frustrated we get. And then we get angry and then we begin to look for people to blame. And then some of us will blame the government. And we blame the government. And then some of us will blame our spouse. Some of us will blame our children. Some of us will blame our colleagues. We'll just look for somebody to blame because we are frustrated. No, what we should have done is to go to the wells of salvation. We don't understand why. Many times we don't even know why we are going through what we are going through. Except for the truth that the devil is our adversary. That's what we all know. So the devil is the one causing us trouble. But why are we going through this? We don't know. But don't worry yourself about the why. Just go to the wells of salvation. Get your bucket called joy. And go to the wells of salvation with joy. You'll find the solution there. You'll find the provision there. You'll find the victory there. Because Jesus is your salvation. He knows what you don't know. He has the supply for you. And there is no lack in him. There is sufficiency in him. We are complete in him, Bible says. So Habakkuk then looks at the situation and says to himself, that's my paraphrase, well, the solution is in God. And the way to get help from God is to rejoice. Because we joy. You shall draw water from the wells of salvation. So look at the next verse. So although all this is happening like that, look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see how joy is related to salvation again? But he had to make a choice to rejoice in that kind of situation. Instead of sitting down and feeling sad or sorrowful, he made a choice. He said, although all these things are failing, yet I will rejoice. I'm not going to count it for sorrow. I'm going to count it for joy. As Bible says, my brethren, count it for joy. Everything that is contrary to you, you rejoice. You are not rejoicing for the problem. You are rejoicing in the God of your salvation who has already given you the victory and will help you to walk in that victory. As you stir joy in yourself. Let's rise up this morning. No matter what you are going through, just leave your Bible open there in Habakkuk. See, God is no respecter of persons. If you do what the word of God says, God will not fail you. Because he has no respect to persons. He only has respect to his word. If you obey his word, you get the same result that everyone that obeys the word will get. God won't say, well, I like your face more than the face of the other person. So I will do special for you and not do special for the other person. No, God is not like that. If you obey his word just like the other person, you get the same result as the other person. Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Isn't that wonderful? Everything is failing, but God is going to give me strength to overcome. He's going to bring me to higher grounds. The troubles wanted to bring me down, but God is going to get me above the troubles. I'm going to be an overcomer. Instead of being overwhelmed or overcome by the problems, I will overcome them. Because God is my salvation. So I just need to rejoice in Him and draw from Him, from the wells of salvation, the strength I need, the victory I need. Well, you know what we are going through this morning. Why don't you just choose to do what Habakkuk did and rejoice in the Lord? How do you rejoice in the Lord? By speaking words to Him, first and foremost, to magnify Him above the trouble. Singing and playing music, they are expressions of our worship and adoration of God, but they are not the whole thing about praising or worshiping God. You can praise God just in words. You can worship Him, Bible says, even by making melody in your heart to the Lord. So what are we saying? It starts with your heart. Turned away from the problem to God. To say, God, You are on my side. You are for me. And if You be for me, none can be against me. You are in me. You are the greater one in me. Greater are You than that is in me than he that is in the world. What am I doing? I'm rejoicing in the Lord already. That's what it means. Don't let us get religious and say, well, I can't rejoice in the Lord because I'm not able to go to church and participate in the worship. Well, I don't know how to play music, so I can't rejoice in the Lord. Well, you just make music with your mouth and say, God, hallelujah, I praise You. You are my joy. I rejoice in Your salvation. I thank You, Lord, that You are my victory in this situation. Oh, I thank You, Lord, that You are my wisdom in this situation. You will guide me in the way I should go. What are you doing? You are rejoicing in the Lord, Your salvation. Oh, I praise You, Lord, You are my healer. This sickness will not kill me. I will live and not die. Oh, I give You praise, Jesus. By Your stripes, I was healed over 2,000 years ago. And I thank You that You are in me to minister the healing to me today. What am I doing? I'm rejoicing in the Lord. By declaring the words of faith to magnify God above my trouble. And the Holy Spirit at that point will take over and do the rest. We open the door for the Holy Spirit to come and help us when we stir joy in our heart, because He's the Spirit of joy. And at the same time, we shut the door against the devil, the spirit of sorrow and sadness. And that's how we gain the victory over the devil. Paul and Silas, Bible says they were in prison in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, in the midnight hour, they prayed and they sang praises unto the Lord, and the glory of God came in that prison and shook everything to the core and set them free. With joy, we shall draw from the wells of salvation. Go ahead and rejoice in the Lord. Just talk to Him, magnify Him above your troubles, and declare words of faith in God instead of allowing the problem to overwhelm you. Whatsoever that situation may be, declare what the word of God says about it. If you are sick, declare words of healing and trust in God to fulfill His word, His promise. That's why Isaiah said, I will trust and not be afraid. I trust in God because He doesn't fail to keep His promises. He is my way maker. He makes a way for me where there seems to be no way. When people shut doors in my face and God wants me to walk through those doors, He will open them for me. When people say no to me and God has said yes in heaven, they will change their mind and turn their answer back to yes. See, that's how to get the victory. You have to agree with God and rejoice in the salvation that belongs to you by faith in Him. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Don't try to figure out how will it happen. You see, that's not your business. You just rejoice. Habakkuk was not trying to figure out how it will happen. He just said, yet I will rejoice. And I know God will do His own part. He will give me the strength. He will lift me above this trouble. He will make me to have the strength to outrun every obstacle and overcome them. And to outrun all the contrary ways of the enemy in the land. It will make my feet like the hind's feet. I will leap over the wall. Every obstacle in my way, I will overcome them by the strength of the Lord. And if you have done that, lift your other hand to God and thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him, thank Him. You see, some other time we shall break it down some more. Because when you begin to turn your attention to God and magnify Him based on His promises, the Holy Spirit will take control right from the inside of you where He lives. And you may find Him sometimes just leading you in thanking the Lord. Just begin to thank Him. He may even sometimes tell you, you don't even need to pray anymore in this situation. Just begin to thank God. You have the victory in Jesus' name. And at times He may lead you and say, begin to pray now in other tongues. Or sometimes He may lead you, begin to just praise God in other tongues. You see, the moment you open the door for Him to come, He will take over and lead you in the way of victory. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He knows the way of victory in every situation. You may not know, man may not know, but He knows. You give Him the opportunity, He will guide you in the way of salvation in that situation. We praise You, Mighty One. We bless You, gracious God. We thank You, Holy Spirit. We thank You that You are the Spirit of joy and You are our helper in every situation. Greater are You who is in us than he that is in the world. Thank You for ministering divine help to everyone under the sound of my voice here today. And every member of this church who are not here today. And all our fellow brethren in the body of Christ everywhere, in all the face of the earth. We are one family in You. We are the inhabitants of Zion. And great is the Lord Jehovah who is in our midst. For in the Lord Jehovah is our everlasting strength. And we thank You that You minister the benefits of salvation to every one of us at all points of need. Spiritual need, emotional need, physical need, material need, family need, relational need, needs in the business, needs on the job, whatsoever the need may be in the lives of Your people here. We look to You as the way of salvation for us in all those situations. And we release our joy in You as the God of our salvation. And we thank You that by the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts, through the faith that Jesus brought for us to live by, we draw from the wells of salvation today. And we give You all the glory, Lord. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Well, turn to one or two people and say, thank God that with joy You and I can draw from the wells of salvation. So I encourage you to rejoice in the Lord always. No matter the situation, just rejoice. God knows what to do to help you have the victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.